surpassed, penetrating and perfect truth, dissolving matter, even in 100,000 myriad kelpas. Now we can see and hear, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amish the Buddha, Amish the Dharma, Amish the Sangha. I remember when I was young, my dad sometimes used to say, the hurrier I go, the behinder I get. And I don't want to talk about being hurried and getting behind today, but I was trying to think of a way of expressing, kind of like the thinkier I get about religion, the confuseder I get. It's a funny thing about words. Words, the fact that we use words and develop a great facility with words, which we need to do in order to get by in our human life, the easier it is to think that the ability to chuck words around, familiarity with terms, a certain degree of comfort and even sometimes complacency with the use of terms can easily be mistaken as depth of understanding. But of course it isn't at all. Someone can throw around technical terms, spew them out like a machine gun spewing out bullets, really not have any concept of what they're talking about. We use lots of words in religion, like we use lots of words in every other area of human life. It's important to understand, have some sense, some appreciation is I guess the word I want here, to have some appreciation of how little we actually comprehend of the things that we're talking about. If we really look at any area of human life, but especially religion, there are profound mysteries. Profound mysteries. At the end of the 19th century, I've heard that scientists were saying, well, we pretty well wrapped up the physical sciences now. There's not much more to understand. Then Einstein popped along in 1905 with four revolutionary papers, one of which was about special relativity, but the other three were revolutionary as well. One of them was the first paper in which the basic principle of quantum mechanics was laid forth. And all of a sudden, press reset, we don't understand it at all. I've seen the same thing being said by physicists and cosmologists in recent years. And it just shows how little we have a true sense of history. Yeah, there's a kind of irony in these kind of prideful assertions. You know, it's pretty easy to slip into that in religion as well. In religion, it is so dangerous because there's so much at stake. And we really cannot afford to be swollen-headed we really can't afford to be complacent. And a kind of self-satisfied sense of achievement and understanding is a very complacent state of mind. Another thing is that people can be deeply driven to try to get some intellectual clarity on things that are so deeply intuitive and experiential. And get very driver seaty, very insistent, very demanding in this area. Today we're celebrating the Festival of Great Master Kazon, which for me always is associated with this time of year, spring really burgeoning. And it certainly is one of my favorite festivals, and the teachings of Great Master Kazon are certainly among my favorite things to read and reread and just treasure in my heart, especially those first two chapters of the Denkoroku. In fact, in a certain way, I've never got beyond the first two chapters. And I've always been in awe of that teaching, the way it's expressed, and especially the way Rinzai Master Gyu translated, interpreted it into English. Anyway, in the second chapter of the Denkoroku, one of my favorite lines is, "There's nothing to give or to be given. This is called the right law." And in the context of this talk this morning, I would just like to point out that there's nothing to give or to be given extends to the realm of our understanding in religion and the words we use to express it. In that context, it can be thought of as meaning there is no fundamental need to try to get an understanding, try to express an understanding. It can be taken to mean you sit quietly in meditation, withdraw within, and allow thoughts and emotions to settle down, quiet and naturally. There you are sitting within the truth, and the truth is within you, and it is complete and whole and lacking for nothing. There's nothing to give or to be given. You might extend that verbal expression a little bit and say there's nothing that has to be given, there's nothing that has to be received, because it's already there. Well, in actual practice, and no one knew this better than Kazon, I'm sure, it goes a little further than that. B- Because something is always being given from the eternal. Something is always being received by us. Something is always being passed back to the eternal through us, by us. We can trust that within that wholeness and completeness, that fullness of Buddha nature, that we sit within and that embraces and surrounds us, whatever we truly need will be given freely when the timing is right. We can trust that when it is time for us to take action, in some way or other, and pass something back, we'll have the ability to do that and the means of doing it, and that these will arise naturally. We don't have to force the issue. There's nothing that has to be given. There's nothing that has to give. There is, however, the free flow of giving and receiving. The great circulation of receiving from the eternal and passing back, offering up. As I've so often said, during and in the immediate aftermath of her great Kensho in 1976-77, her master said more than any other thing, she said over and over again, it is enough for me to know the Lord of the house. It is enough for me to know the Lord of the house. We think a minute about what that means. It could be taken as, I know the Lord of the house, I don't need nothing else. But there was never any hard edge in it. There's never any hard edge in it. It is enough. The eternal is enough, and everything that is needed flows forth from the eternal. It was not a claim of knowledge. It was living within a certainty, a blood and bone certainty. There is this refuge. Living within that certainty by continually taking the refuge. Having it reconfirmed and experienced every day, there is this refuge. Refuge of the eternal. There's no claim of achievement in that statement. There's neither adequacy nor inadequacy. It is just enough to know the Lord of the house.
Scripture of great wisdom.